excited about what God is doing amongst us. Praise the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. While you're turning in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 30, going to take us back to a portion of Scripture that has been used a few different times, at least twice since I've been here. And so we're going to go back to that tonight. And hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know it's still warm in here. I've not heard from our air conditioning people yet, but looking forward with anticipation of the day that they can come and get that repaired and fixed. And amen. I got a brand new air conditioner in my house now too. Hallelujah. That's right. Thank God. Didn't know it could be so lovely. Yeah, I was up about 20 hours yesterday and working and stuff. And so, amen, to lay down in the bed and to feel that cold air, amen, come to the room and stuff was just, amen, glorious. Thank God for AC. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. I'm excited. Amen. If you can't smile, then something's wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love hearing Brother Chris laugh. It just makes me smile again. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Again, reading at verse number 1. Came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. And so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I want to turn to one more passage in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2. And began reading at verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Amen. And for just a few minutes of time here tonight, I'm simply just going to preach to you about spiritual atmospheric pressure. Amen. Spiritual atmospheric pressure. Hallelujah. Can we ask the Lord to help us here today? Heavenly Father, we're leaning upon you and we're trusting in you for all things. We're believing in you, God, knowing that you are able. I'm praying, God, that you would impart unto us revelation, understanding. Open up our understanding to be able to comprehend the word, and God, and to be able to understand what the Spirit hath to say to us today. We definitely do not want it to be just words that would fall upon the ears. We don't want to be just hearers only, not being able to perceive what the Spirit is trying to say to us in this hour, God. But we want to take note. We want to take understanding and take action upon it, God. I'm asking you, Lord, to let this be a stepping stone here today. Lord, that we would climb further, higher, God, with you tonight. Lord, that you could prepare us, and God, to a place that you would desire us to be. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Hallelujah, 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 Savior. Let's clap our hands and worship Him today. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Of course, the atmosphere can equate to a couple of different things. Most often when we think of the word atmosphere, we attribute it to the weather, to how it feels outside, humid, stormy, nice, sunny, windy. But the atmosphere, on one hand, is all of the air that surrounds the earth and the air in any given place. But it is also a pervading or surrounding mental or social influence. It is a dominant intellectual or emotional environment or attitude. It is the dominant tone or the mood of a work of art. And it is the general effect produced by decor and furnishings and other things of that sort. And so you can quickly change the atmosphere just by simply changing the decor and the color of a room. Amen. That's why when you go into a children's hospital and you see the vibrant and bright colors, because they just don't want it to be a depressing place. And so they don't paint it in the hard, deep colors. But they like the oranges and the light blues and the yellows and the reds and such. And they are doing it to create an atmosphere in that setting. Praise God. They understand and know that it's depressing enough to be there. And so they're doing their best in such a subliminal way to cause you to be just a little bit lightened in your mood. Amen. Let me just go and say that there are those that have come amongst us within the past several years, and not necessarily amongst the church, but in the world. And they dress in all black. And there is a mood that they are trying to set. And so their attire is black. They dye their hair black. They put on black eyeshadow, black lipstick. Amen. Their shoes are black. And they are attempting to set a mood. Amen. And the mood is very ominous. Amen. It is not bright. It is not cheerful. It is not happy. It is not, on the good side. Amen. But it is black. And in all reality, it's a representation of evil. That is the atmosphere that they are protruding. They don't want you to feel happy and jovial around them. Amen. They want you to be skeptical. They want you to be elusive. Try to stay away. They're not inviting you into their inner circle. Amen. To laugh and to cut up. They've got their few, and there they are. And their mood is very depressing. Their mood sets a tone amongst everybody, and nobody really likes to be around them because of the aura that they present. And whether you like it or you don't like it is the truth. Amen. And some people say, well, you just got to accept me how that I am. Amen. You know what? If we would change our mentality, people would tend to accept us a little bit better. Praise God. Amen. I remember working on a house with an individual one time, and there we were working upon it, and the guy told me, he said, I've got something that you've got to see. I said, all right. And so he took me into these people's house. And one of the bedrooms was already completely done. And so as we walked down the hallway and as we opened up that door, amen, it was a knock your socks off moment. Because as soon as I opened that door and looked in, I was like, oh my goodness. And it was the brightest neon green that you can possibly imagine. Amen. And it makes you want to put sunshades on. It makes you want to smile. It does not make you want to get mad and tell somebody off and turn around and punch somebody and stuff. But it's a brightness that is there. And I said, I perceive that whoever is in this room is a very cheerful individual. And the man said, you don't even know the story. Amen. Because that's just kind of the cream of the crop right there. They're always happy and jovial and just outwards and going and laughing. And they're just so fun to be around. And so it creates an atmosphere. Amen. Go to a funeral and step inside the funeral home and walk in. And you don't hear everybody laughing and cutting jokes and amen and just slapping their legs and knees and such. But there is an atmosphere that is there. And it is a mourning atmosphere. And I know that there are times that that we begin to remember the different things of the individual that is deceased. And sometimes it would cause a smile to be upon our face. And sometimes we would even kind of laugh. Amen. But it's not the big old belly laughs. Amen. That just rock everything and everybody's laughing and such. Amen. Because that there is a loss of life and that rules the atmosphere. But at the same time, go to a birthday party. Amen. And nobody's sitting around and mourning and nobody's crying and wiping tears off of their face. Amen. But everybody is happy and everybody is joyful. And they're celebrating another year that is given. Whether they're young or whether they're old. Amen. There is an atmosphere that is there. Praise God. And we know that atmosphere that we live in this world is responsible for all of our weather conditions. It doesn't matter what the weather is outside. The atmosphere that is out there is responsible for it. Amen. The atmosphere becomes unstable when temperatures decrease rapidly with height. And there is a variation of pressure. Please, amen, understand that I have no earthly idea what I'm talking about. But, amen, I can copy and paste something that I found, amen, from different Wikipedia or whatever it is. Amen. So I don't understand, amen, this where it says, I understand temperature falling rapidly, but with height, I don't quite understand that. But I do know that there is a variation in pressure. And it teaches us that the small variations in pressure that do exist largely determine the wind and the storm patterns that we experience throughout the year. Amen. And so it teaches us that thunderstorms occur when the atmosphere exhibits instability. In essence, when a weather system is unstable, a small displacement leads to a larger one. And when the atmosphere is unstable, a volume of air having an upward displacement for any reason will continue moving upward at an accelerated rate. And if a sufficient large mass of air begins rising, an updraft will result. And if the air is moist as well as unstable, a cloud will form. And further growth can lead to precipitation and lightning. Praise God. Now you know as much as I know. Praise God. But something that I did find out in doing some research and study is that right here in the great state of Kansas is where a lot of thunderstorms are born. This just happens to be geographically the place here in the United States where winds and pressures and cold airs and cold fronts and moist air, pushing down from the north and from the northwest collides with south tropical air that's coming up from the Gulf of Mexico, amen, and it creates, it comes here and it creates the instability of the atmosphere and little clouds begin. If you've ever looked at a radar map, you'll see that here in Kansas, you'll see spots all over the place. And all of those little spots of rain and moisture begin to collectively draw and begin to come together like magnets and begin to grow larger and larger. And the air that is moving down begins to push them. And you don't see a lot of those little small areas. You do, but not as many in, say, Texas or Oklahoma, southern Oklahoma. But what you see there is the result of what happens or is what is happening right here in Kansas and northern Oklahoma as it begins to create the storm that is going to take place as it begins to move further south. And some of these storms that we are very familiar with and that we do not like is the most violent storms of the atmospheric storms that are called tornadoes. And they have winds that range from 300 miles per hour to over 500 miles per hour, measured there on the F scale. And just a small tornado can be much more powerful than a large hurricane. And a class 5 hurricane, you're only looking at 175 miles an hour. And the largest one clocking in at well over 200, 205, I believe. Amen. Katrina and Rita hit that and surpassed that 200-mile mark. But a small tornado will be over 200 miles an hour. But whereas that tornado, a large tornado, is maybe a mile wide or 2 miles wide, and much more, on an average, much less than that. Amen. Hurricanes, on the other hand, affect a very, very large area. And an average hurricane can span from wingtip to wingtip of over 300 and sometimes 500 miles in distance. And so you understand that that just hitting a Texas or a Louisiana or a Mississippi coast, amen, it could very easily hit the entire coast and multiple cities instead of just being a powerful spotted place that just hits a certain town and only part of that town. But we understand that conditions are required for all of these storms. Amen. Requiring for a tornado, we would have to have a great vertical instability of air near the ground. And there has to be a high humidity and horizontal convergence of winds at low levels, followed by the uplift in storms. And these tornadoes are associated, as I explained, with the tropical air that moves towards the north or the northwest, and it collides with a cooler air moving in from the north. And these fronts are often characterized by vorticities, and therefore in the hitting and the clashing, they spawn the tornadoes. Amen. I don't have time to get into hurricanes. Amen. But it takes different conditions in order for hurricanes to come about. But in 2005 of September, sometime about the time that I was actually pulling my trailer out of Augusta, Kansas, from a revival, Hurricane Katrina had hit just a little bit earlier than that. And within a few weeks, towards the end of September, Hurricane Rita would come in, and it was forecasted to hit somewhere around the Corpus Christi area. But there was a cold front there towards the end of hurricane season. I know hurricane season goes all the way to the 1st of November, but most of them are somewhere in mid-August, where it's heating up right now, and towards the end of September. Amen. From end of August to the end of September is extremely busy. And so somewhere in there, though, as the cold fronts began to break the summer heats and began to bring relief unto the scorched and to the hot lands, and from that Canada area, a cold front began to move in, and Hurricane Rita, some 500 miles wide, amen, showing her force and her power, coming in as a class 5 hurricane, and was scheduled, and basically it was set that she was going to hit Corpus. That cold front coming in from the north began to press upon that storm and began to swing her far to the east. And some 300 miles it pushed from Corpus all the way into Orange, Texas, right there at the Texas-Louisiana border. Amen. That line. And Katrina or Arita done her damage, flooding and tearing up everything and causing such devastation. But the power of that cold front had the ability to swing that hurricane, that large hurricane, that powerful hurricane, amen, class 5, top of the line hurricane, amen, it calls that power, amen, to swing way far east. Praise God. And so this is the atmosphere and the pressures that we are talking about
about tonight, whether it would be storms or whether it would be decor, whether it would be paintings, amen, whether it would be mood sets, funerals or birthdays, surprise parties, or whatever it would be, we find that there is an atmosphere that is predominant in David's day here in 1 Samuel. And David and his men come to the place that they call home. And thinking that everything is going to be fine and everything is going to be great. Anticipating the little girls, amen, that were going to run and wrap their legs around daddy's legs. And whom they have not seen for months upon end. And thinking of the embrace from the wife. And the kiss and the greetings from their sons as they came out and desired to play with daddy. And just the atmosphere was going to be so jovial and so great and wonderful, anticipated, amen. But as they crest one of those last hills, they knew that something was not right, and the mood began to swing, began to change, as the smell of smoke began to fill their nostrils, and their steps picked up because they were wondering what had happened, knowing that and expecting what they were going to see, but knowing that now it's not going to be good. And as they come into the visual view of what used to be called home, they see their tents, amen, in disarray. They see everything that was worth burning has been burnt. And they see all of the things that weren't worth taking scattered abroad. And there are no bodies that are laying around. As a matter of fact, there's nobody there, period. There's nobody alive. There's nobody dead. And sometimes death can bring a closing to a situation in that you know that it is over and that it is finished. But at this point in time, they do not know what kind of slavery that their family has been taken into, what kind of torture and hurt, amen, and how they are being treated. And so that is open-minded. And they are extremely depressed. And in being greatly distressed, the Bible said that they wept until they had no more power to weep. This is not a time for cracking jokes. This is not a time for smiling and slapping somebody on the back and said, hey, it's going to be better tomorrow. No, these are warriors that had anticipated seeing mom, anticipated seeing brother and sisters. Amen. Sons and daughters had anticipated the great reunion of family, but it is not to be had. And so these men are broken and they're weeping and tears have stained and streaked down their face. And the Bible even speaks and says now that they are speaking among themselves about stoning David and killing him because they are charging him and accusing him, making and causing him to feel responsible for what has happened. And so the Bible says that David had to get away by himself and that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And he began to talk to Abiathar the priest and began to pray and seek God to find the mind of Christ. Let me just point out to you today that David represents the minute, the minimum. Amen. David represents, amen, not the majority. What am I? The minority here. As a matter of fact, David stands all alone by himself. And all of these other men, amen, are the prevailing factor, are the prevailing mood swing, the atmosphere that is there. And so very easily we could all say, let's all just fall down and let's all cry a bucket of tears. And let's all, that is the norm. that is what is to be expected. But in beyond the norm, here is a man that refuses to accept it as is. He is the one that is very optimistic. If there is hope, he's going to get a hold of it. If there is a chance, he wants that chance. If it's a 1% chance, he'll take that 1%. But he is unwilling to throw in the towel. Amen. I believe that we could learn a lesson from David. Amen. That there are a lot of things in life that we can go through. And things that are even in justifying us to feel sorry for ourselves. Justifying for us to feel, amen, a little down in the dumps. Justifying, amen, us to have a mood swing, to be upset about things. Not happy about what's going on. Amen. I'm telling you, that type of atmosphere is predominant in the world that we live in, and it's not going to get any better. You're not going to have a whole lot of amen excuses to smile and to have a good time. That is going to be the minority, but don't let it ever dictate your worship. Don't ever let it dictate your prayer. Don't ever let it dictate your praise. Don't ever let it dictate how that you're going to live for God. I want you to know that if all hell turns against you and you lose everything, there is a God that is closer than a brother, and he'll stick with you. And you may not feel like you've got a lot to give thanks unto God for, but God has been good unto you. It's the curse of sin. It's the sting of sin that you feel. Amen. Sin is not of God. The curse of sin, amen, cannot be blamed upon God. It's just the facts that these things do happen. But friend, it takes somebody special. It takes somebody determined. You don't necessarily have to be strong. You just got to be determined. Amen. To stand up and say, I will not live in this mood swing. I will not live depressed. I will not live down in the dumps. God has been good. I am going to encourage myself in the Lord. You need a prayer meeting by yourself. You need to sit down and give thanks unto God for everything that he has done for you. You possess the power to change the atmosphere about you. When the devil comes in and says there's nothing to smile about, you possess that power. Amen. To accept it or to deny it, you ought to stand up and say, I refuse, amen, to frown. I refuse to cry about my situation. I will rejoice, amen, in the Lord. As Paul said in that dungeon, writing the book of Philippians, amen, it became known as the book of rejoicing. As he penned and said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say unto you, rejoice. Paul, you don't have a lot to rejoice about. Paul, you've been forsaken. Paul, you've been beaten. Paul, you've been left for dead. Paul, you've been, amen, all kinds of things. You've been stoned. Amen. Paul said, I refuse to major upon those things. I refuse to think about those things. But there is one thing that I can do. Forgetting those things which are behind me, I press towards the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Why don't we just give thanks unto the Lord here today? Amen. I feel a variation in pressure. Amen. I feel something becoming unstable in an atmosphere here today. Amen. I'm of the persuasion that anything can happen. Where two or three are gathered in his name, amen, anything can happen. Hallelujah. I refuse to buy the mindset that this is just a Wednesday night. Amen. God can perform miracles on Wednesday as well as he can on Sunday. Hallelujah. He's the same God on Sunday night and on Wednesday night and in Tuesday night prayer meeting. Amen. You are the variable. I said, you are the variable. Amen. If you want to get in the Holy Ghost, you can get in the Holy Ghost. But if you want to sit on your hands, amen, and just have yourself a good cry party, amen, there's not much that can be done. But I'm encouraging somebody to come up out of the mully grubs. I'm encouraging somebody. You've got a God that is with you. You've got a God that'll stand with you. You've got a God that loves you. You've got a God with an all-seeing eye, and he sees where you are. You've got it good. Oh, magnify the Lord today. Hallelujah. In the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, he said, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to this course of the world, according to the prince and the power of the air." I remember being a teenager and maybe even into my early 20s, and I thought to myself, amen, what a title, huh, that you're the prince and the power of the air. I mean, if I gave you a bottle and it didn't have anything in it, amen, but air, what would you have? You would have an empty bottle. And I thought to myself, amen, isn't that just so desiring that I'm the prince and the power of the air? What is the air? It's nothing. Amen, I have nothing. Amen, but I began to realize that the air is the atmosphere. I began to realize that with air, you're not going to live. Amen, and if the devil can make that air so suited, amen, so polluted, amen, that it causes harmful toxins to come into you, it'll destroy you. Amen, if all you're ever breathing is depression, amen, you're not going to have the joy of the Holy Ghost. If all you're ever breathing, amen, is tears of sorrow, amen, you're not going to experience, amen, the strength of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, but somewhere or another, you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't diminish the enemy's ability and his power. He does have power. But Jesus said, "I'll give you power over all the power, amen, of the enemy. Greater, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world." I submit to you today that if you don't want to be depressed, you don't have to be depressed. If you don't want to be discouraged, you don't have to live in discouragement. You've got a Bible. You can pick it up and you can begin to read it. You've got a God that can hear your voice. You can touch God. You can encourage yourself in God and the Lord. Amen. You can come up. Is it easy? Not always. Not always. But it's possible. I said it's possible. But let me tell you about the God that you serve. If you reach up, he'll reach down. If you stand up, he'll come down to you. If you... if you take one step, he'll take two. God will go above and beyond everything in order to help you. Amen. In order to make you. In order to cause you to make it. If you want to make it, God will help you make it. God will go above. God went to Calvary so that you can make it. Don't tell me that you can't do it. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Let me take this one step further and I'm done today. Amen, but when we come together in what we call church, amen, that there is a marriage of the heavenly and the earthly. There is a transcending of earthly. When we begin to meet together for worship, we are taught in the book of Ephesians that we are made to sit together in heavenly places. Now, I don't want to burst your bubble tonight, but that heavenly places doesn't mean that we're sitting up there with Jesus in a lawn chair drinking sweet tea and just laughing at devils. But those heavenly places refer to the place, amen, that was happening when Daniel was praying. There was war in the heavenlies. I feel the Holy Ghost today. There was war in the heavenlies. Amen. And the angel came down and said, Daniel, I heard your prayer the first day, but we've been resisted by the prince of Pergamos or Persia. We've been resisted by that. Amen. But another angel came and he helped us and I was able to come through. I want you to know that when we get into a place called church, when we come together, that's what the word church means. The ecclesia, called out to come together. Not congregating on the internet, on Zoom, or anything else like that. I understand that those times are needed at a particular time, but we don't sit home, amen, and do those things. This is the church. We're called out to come together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And when we come together, we can have dead church or we can have high church. Amen. But I promise you, the choice is ours. Because we're not going to be beating on the doors of heaven and God saying, nah, go away. I don't want to do this. I'm too tired. I've worked hard all day and I'm not ready to have good church. Y'all just make do and get out. But every service that we come together, there is a calling, there is an invitation, there is a drawing that God begins to draw His people to a higher place. And when we come to that place, you feel chill bumps on top of chill bumps. You feel the Holy Ghost moving. You can resist. But Paul, when he was talking about spiritual warfare, he said, quench not the spirit. And so when there is that calling and somebody stands up, you're not just standing up and clapping your hands. Amen. You're making your battle cry. You're not just waving your hands. You're not just jumping up and down. You're not just dancing to dance because you feel the music. Musicians, you're not just playing any musical instrument. Praise singers, you're not just singing another song like Carrie Underwood or anybody else. There's war that's going on. God is saying, come on up here. I want to show you what New Life Tabernacle is facing in the heavenlies. I want to show you what New Life Tabernacle is facing in the spiritual war. And so when you begin to run the aisles, there's war that's happening. When you clap your hands, there's war that's happening. When you're jumping up and down, there's war that's happening. You're expressing your emotion. I'm still free. Devil, you don't have my hands handcuffed. Devil, you don't have me stuck in a chair with a gag around my mouth. I still got the ability to lift my voice and give God praise. You can let your breath become stagnant and stale and hold it in and not give God praise, and you'll die in depression and despair. But if you want the joy, open your mouth and give God praise. I'm speaking to somebody in the Holy Ghost even right now. You've been fighting depression. You've been fighting despair. And you don't know how to come out of it. I'm giving you your answer. Break loose in the Holy Ghost. Don't let the devil beat you down in despair. You've got a God that's greater. Stand up and rejoice in God. Magnify Him and see how long the devil can stick around. Preacher, you don't know everything I've been through. I promise you it wasn't as much as David. I promise you it wasn't as much as Paul. But in the despair, they were able to look up and say, in spite of my certain circumstance, in spite of what I'm facing, in spite of what I'm feeling, in spite of what I see right now, God, you are still good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is a volatility and atmospheric pressure here right now. There is something that's moving right now. And things are becoming unstable. You're feeling the Holy Ghost. You're feeling a little spring in your step. Hey man, it's going to become unstable here in a little bit. For the Bible said, he that is from above is above all. Amen, devil, I don't care where you said you're going to hit. I don't care where you said that you're going to go. When Jesus comes down, he's going to push you right out of the way. This trial that you're going through, that's not just a circumstance of life. That's not just where you've been deemed to live. You can have joy. Right there in the middle of the prison where nothing looked good, in a dungeon with dank, stale, moist air and rats all around, amen, in bonds and shackles of iron, Paul and Silas said, hey, let's change the atmosphere here a little bit. You don't have anything to be thankful for. You're on the killing squad. They're going to destroy and to kill you. Paul said, I refuse to go out with a frown on my face. I just feel like singing a little bit. And all of a sudden, Paul and Silas began to sing. Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrows I felt. But Jesus, oh yeah, he's the variable. But Jesus came and he listened to me. And glory to God, I'm walking out of here free. And the chains fell off. And the gates began to open up. They changed the atmosphere. It was only two of them. Amen. And the circumstance said it's not going to happen. Paul said, at least we can try. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. He said, at least we can try. I'm here to tell you today, at least you could try too. Hallelujah, at least you could try today. I refuse to let my circumstances dictate my worship. I refuse to let the cares of the day dictate how that I'm going to worship God. God has been good. Amen. I said God has been good. Oh, yes, 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 yes. When the atmosphere is unstable, a volume of air having an upward displacement for any reason, that's your praises going up. Amen. A small displacement leads to a larger one, and it begins to continue moving upward at an accelerated rate, and a sufficient large mass of air begins rising. An updraft will result. If the air is moist, friend, here comes the Holy Ghost rain. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, this atmosphere is ours here tonight. Hallelujah, the devil doesn't rule in this church house. He doesn't get to dictate what goes on in this church house. Amen, if we want to have good church, we can have good church in spite of what the devil says. We only have bad church and dry church when we succumb to bad church and dry church. When we come in with a lazy mentality, that's when it happens. But if somebody will stand up and say, hey, it's pre-service prayer right now, and I refuse to go through a drought in pre-service prayer, and you begin to lift up your voice and begin to pray, you are going to change the entire mood of the entire service. Right there in pre-service prayer, you change the atmosphere. One person begins to pray. Amen. One catches on to two. Two begin to pray and lift up their voice. Two turns to four. Four turns to eight. And before you know it, everybody's involved in prayer. And the atmosphere has changed. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we're not done changing the atmosphere around here. We're not done changing the atmosphere around here. Hallelujah. God still got some things that He desires to do in this place. Hallelujah. There's a Holy Ghost outpouring that He wants to do in this house. Yes.